At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
There's nothing more satisfying than finding the perfect green paint for your living room. Except maybe popping open that can of Valspar Ultra and rolling that first smooth stroke on the wall. And there's nothing more satisfying than admiring your freshly painted wall.
Ooh.
Except maybe peeling off the painter's tape to see those crisp edges. But the most satisfying part of all? Valspar Ultra's price tag, starting at $29.98 a gallon. Affordable, durable, available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
There was a man who was an efficient builder. He had worked for years in a large company and had reached the age of retirement. His employer asked him to build one more house. It was to be his last commission. The builder took the job, but his heart was not involved. He used inferior materials. Timber was poor, and he failed to see the many things that should have been clear to him had he shown even his normal interest in his work. When the house was eventually finished, his employer came to him and said, "The house is yours. Here's the key. It's a present from me." The builder immediately regretted that he had not used the best materials and engaged the most capable workers. If only he had known that the house was for him. If he had made a commitment with his life, with his craft, that I'm going to give my best at all times, even if this is my last job, I'm going to give it my best shot because that expresses who I am, he would have been more appreciative of that gift. Would you imagine that? The next thing is, live each day with integrity. Don't try and get over in life. Don't try and cheat. See, a lot of people like to try and cheat. I was with a friend of mine, and went into a service station to get some gas. They gave me back too much change. I discovered it down the road, and I was turning around going back. Guy said, "You're a fool. Hey, man, what when they don't give people enough change? You think they flag the people down?" I said, "I'm not responsible for them. I'm responsible for me." I went back and I told the guy, "Excuse me, sir, you gave me a $20 bill too much." I gave it to the guy. The guy just took it and walked away. He didn't say thank you. The guy in the car laughed, said, "I told you, you fool. I'd have kept that." I said, "I'm not responsible for his attitude. I don't care. Knowing that he would not say thank you, I would still give it back to him. Because my image of myself says, hey, you don't take something that doesn't belong to you. That's the way my mother raised me. Don't try and cheat. You know, this little bit won't count. Everything counts." A lot of people have been calling me saying, "Hey, man, I read about you in Ebony. Boy, you're lucky." Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. Here's something else. 3 P's to have in your life. In working on your dream and doing your life work, you must be patient, persistent, and positive no matter what. I called John H. Johnson for 2.5 years to get in that magazine. The first time I called him, he wouldn't talk to me. Then I was persistent, trying to find out who knew him that could invite me there to meet him or have the opportunity to speak so that he could hear me. And I met a guy who worked for him. And I said, "Hey, I'd like to speak for you guys. Just want to know, will he be in the audience?" They said, "Yes, good." I spoke and I tried to tear the microphone up. And he said after I finished, "Hey, young man, you're quite impressive. I'm going to have my staff do an article on you." I said, "Thank you, Mr. Johnson." And I sent him information on me, Federal Express. And it didn't happen. Waited for a month and it didn't happen. Waited for 2 months. It didn't happen. I stopped calling every month. "Hello, how are you? May I speak to Mr. Johnson? I'm sorry he's not available. Tell him Les Brown calling. I just want to say thank you very much for the article when he puts it in." I kept on doing it, kept on calling, sending new articles, sending new information on me, kept on upgrading the information on me, sending him thank you letters. "Thank you, Mr. Johnson." I was always positive. I could have gotten negative saying, "Why did you lie to me? Why are you going to tell me you were going to put me in the magazine and you didn't do it?" I could have got an attitude. Be positive no matter what, because when you are negative, ladies and gentlemen, you're sending out negative energy and you're blocking your good. So don't send out any negative energy. Don't take it personal. I didn't care. what he thought of me, or the staff, that I was a nuisance to them. They get paid to deal with people like me. I wanted to be in that magazine. They got a subscription of 1.7 million people. Ask me, do I care what they think about me? Any sensible, reasonable, intelligent person knows if somebody doesn't call you back after 2.5 years, they don't want to talk to you. Ask me, do I care about that? Results don't lie. I'm in the magazine. Hello, hello, hello. See, a lot of people have an idea or a dream and they give up on it. No, no, don't do that. Work your dream until it get hot. Most things don't happen as soon as we think they should happen. The messenger of misery might drop in on you and say hello. Murphy's Law might come by and thump you on the head. Any number of things can happen to interrupt your flow. It's okay. Don't take it personal. Just acknowledge what's going on. It's called life, and keep on working on your dream. Continue to keep on knocking, because this is your life. This is what you love. This is your passion. Step back. Don't judge it. If you judge it, judge not yet, lest ye be judged. Why? Because when you judge it, you invest emotion in it, and that emotion could be anger. And guess what? That hurts you. That doesn't hurt anybody else. One doctor said, the man who angers me killeth me. And then he allowed someone to egg him into an argument on the floor of the National Medical Convention and suffered a massive heart attack. When you're in a state of anger, you have so much acid in your blood, if they withdrew some blood from you and inserted it into a pig, it would die from the acid. So what do you want to take yourself out early for, by internalizing things? Shakespeare said, nothing is neither good nor bad, but thinking makes it so. So judge not according to appearances, but right judgment, and feel that everything is going to work out for you, because you're patient, you're persistent, and you're going to be positive no matter what. Don't allow other things or people or circumstances to determine what your reaction is going to be. I was out to dinner with some people, and we had a waitress that was quite discourteous and rude, and the people around me took an attitude about it. I learned how to observe life. I think that in order to overcome life, you've got to learn how to observe it. Just stand back and watch what's going on and choose not to buy into it. I said, excuse me, ma'am, do you know what TIP stands for? She said, no. I said, TIP stands for to ensure promptness. We've been sitting here a long time. I want to give you $5 up front to ensure a prompt meal. Would you assist me? She gave me the biggest smile and said, of course I will. And I said, by the way, I'm not with these people. I'm going to be sitting at another table. Please put my meal over there. Serve them by themselves. See, I don't want to make anybody angry who goes behind closed doors to prepare my food. I got my food. If I told them, I said, if I were you, I would eat that. Where's the manager? I want to see him. She said, I'll get him just a minute. I know what she did to their food. I said, eat that at your own risk. I don't even want y'all driving me home. I'll get your cab. No, no, no. I don't know when that's going to take effect on you. So don't allow people to determine how you are going to respond to them or circumstances. Learn to look at it. A friend of mine, Tom Perkins, handsome, articulate man in his mid-50s. He had a tremendous business. And at the height of his success, someone was killed in his business. He was sued and lost $750,000. Lost his business, lost his family, lost his home, everything. He was devastated, ladies and gentlemen. He started living in his car. He would wash up in a McDonald's across from Howard University on Georgia Avenue in Washington, D.C. He said, Les, I was so depressed. He said, I had everything, and then one day I lost it all. He said, I didn't want to live anymore. He got some sleeping pills, and he took over 35 sleeping pills, and he laid down, folded his hands across his chest, and he said he went to sleep to die. 2 days later, much to his amazement, he woke up. He couldn't even get that right. I said, what happened then, Tom? He said, an incredible thing happened. He said he was laying there for a moment. He said, and a voice said to him inside his mind, it wasn't your life to take. That was one thing. He said, since that day, when I get any major challenges, I don't take it on myself personally. I feel that I've got somebody with me. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, hey, I said, God, you got to handle this for me. This is too much for me. He said, I don't sweat the challenges of life, because it's all small stuff. See, whatever you're worried about, if someone call you right now and say, listen, you got 2 days to live, I'm telling you, you won't be worried about your bills, ladies and gentlemen. You won't be worried about whether or not somebody loves you or cheating on you. Okay, so put things in perspective. Here's something else Tommy said that I think is important. He said that the voice also said to him, if you change your way, I'll give you far more than you ever lost. Look at your life right now. If you want to keep on getting what you're getting, keep on doing what you're doing. You've got to be willing to change your ways. Your life is working. If you don't like what you have produced, you are director, you are the star, you wrote this script, you produced this, whatever it is. If it's a hit, you produced it. If it's a flop, you produced it. Take ownership of it and decide to go back to the drawing board and rewrite the script that you are the star of. You have the power to do that. On this day, you can declare that I'm going to change. As you look back on your life, you can decide that I don't like what I produced here and I want higher ground. I want to begin to experience more love. I want to have more adventure in my life. I want something that gives my life a sense of meaning. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been selected to head up a program called Project Life in Chicago, training thousands of kids. And I had the experience, we had our second session this past Monday. And to see these young people when they came in, and to see the young people and the parents and the community volunteers when they went out, one young man from the Cabrini Green Housing Projects who didn't want to be there, who came up and said, I want you to know I'm so glad to be here. And he said, I'll never be the same again. He said, thank you, Mr. Brown. He said, I just got to go now, but thank you, sir. I'll never be the same again. Now, here's something else. Fear of change. See, the reason that I think most people fear change. A lot of people stay in jobs where they're miserable or stay in relationships where they're miserable. Sometimes in order to begin to see the daisies in life, you've got to be willing to change cities, change friends, change relationships, change jobs. See, after a while, you get bored doing the same old thing in the same old way, day in and day out. Human beings were designed to achieve. And when you're not on a path of developing your greatness and growing and being more productive and being more effective, then your life literally becomes depressing. See, this psychiatrist talked about the fact that these people who had been on his couch for months and years, not being able to make decisions about things, but when they found out that they were dying, they got up and started making all kinds of decisions. They decided no longer to sell out. And you know what happened to me when I lost my job? You know what I think it was, what life said to me more or less? Les Brown, you know you can do more than what you're now doing. Les Brown, you have sold out. Les Brown, go home, go in your drawer, pull out your check stubs and see how much you've sold your soul for. Ladies and gentlemen, I know that I'd sold out on myself at different points in my life. That when you go home and you look at, if your life is not what you want it to be, if you're not living the way that you want to live, if you're not experiencing what you want to experience, if it's not giving you what you want, you've got to ask yourself, what have I sold my soul? Remember that song? 16 ton. What do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. That song is depressing, ladies and gentlemen, that many of us have sold our souls for a home in the suburbs or a brand new car or three meals a day and a roof over our heads. Or because we want to be popular with our friends. See, when you decide to make a change, it's challenging, but there's going to be some resistance. Everybody is not going to agree with that. There's a price to pay. Am I right? See, when I had to think about getting a divorce, it was time for me to grow. And sometimes you stay in a situation too long. Many times you say, well, I need to do it for the kids. Well, see, staying there too long can be harmful to the kids. I had a friend of mine who finally got a divorce after agonizing it. She said, I stayed there as long as I did for the kids. She said, but if I had it to do over again, I would have left sooner because it wasn't healthy for them and it wasn't healthy for me. Many of us stay in jobs where it's no longer good for us to be there. But because we can't see ourselves having the capacity to do more and to achieve more and can't see life after that job, we stay there as victims, volunteer victims. Because nobody's making us do it. We volunteer to be victims. We volunteer not to be in charge of our destiny. We volunteer. We willingly do it. If you're going to sell out, don't do it in a hurry. Do it slowly. Let somebody come and have to take it from you. Don't just give it up willingly. Think about a guy who he had everything going for him. Went to Harvard, became a lawyer, joined a large, prestigious law firm, married the perfect wife, had children, and guess what? He was going through the motions day in and day out, but it wasn't giving him what he wanted out of life. He was going through an act. He was acting out a role. And one day, he couldn't get out of bed. He was just there in bed, couldn't get up, paralyzed. They got the doctors. They looked at him, examined him from head to toe, and said, there's nothing physically wrong with him. Get up, John. Come on, get up. He couldn't get up. He stayed like that for months, had to take therapy. See, because there was dis-ease, there was conflict in his body. Many times when life calling on us to change and to grow and to expand, we said, no, no, I don't want to hear that. No, 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 no. We resist that. So we can go back to that lifestyle of mediocrity. We resist that, that change, that grow. We go back so we can go back to sleep. Winston Churchill said the truth is incontrovertible. Malice may attack it, ignorance may deride it, but at the end, there it is. Carlyle said, truth crushed to earth shall rise again. And we know scriptures say, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But the truth that will set men free is the truth that men don't want to hear. See, we don't want to hear. You got to change. You got to take responsibility for your stuff. You got to clean your act up. You are not your act. In a time when people are feeling a great deal of anxiety and fear and reservations about the future, at a time when people are going to work and don't know whether or not they will have a job when they get off, and not necessarily because of their performance, but because of what's happening in the economy, at a time when there are challenges more so than ever before in personal relationships, when we look at what's happening on the crime level and what's happening with our youth, but many times I'm sure that we've all taken just to stop and reflect many times when we hear what's happening in the news or read the newspapers. Where's all of this leading to? What's going on here? And so I think that now more than ever, we must begin to look at what are the things that we can do that would put us on some firm footing in life, that will enable us to do some things and use some powers that we have, that many of us go through life never ever discovering that we have those things going for us. And part of that, I believe, is knowing what it is your life worth. What is it that gives your life a sense of meaning and purpose? Because once you find that, it puts you in your power place. See, if you know what your life work is, I encourage you to start working on it. If you can't do it all at one time, do just a little bit of it. And if you don't know what it is that you showed up to do, if you don't know why you're here, I encourage you to find out what your purpose is here. What is the meaning of your life? What will be different? Have you ever asked yourself that question? I've done that. I remember coming from a friend of mine's funeral, and I was reflecting on how much time I had left. And I went for a walk in a park thinking about this guy whose life was so promising. And I mean, he wasn't an old guy. He was quite young, in fact. And I thought about all of the things that he said he was going to do, and he never got a chance to do those things. And I started thinking about my own life and how much time I had left to do the things that I would like to do. And at that time, I wasn't sure what my life purpose was, what my life's work was. I wasn't sure about it at that time. And I thought about it quite a lot. I had some idea, but I wasn't convinced that I don't think I felt worthy. I didn't believe that it could be me to do this kind of work that I'm doing right now. And I say to you that if you begin to take a conscious effort to find out what it is that you're supposed to do, I say that it can literally save your life. I said that it can literally save your life. I was telling a group of people of a study that was conducted. Dr. Larry Darcy, who wrote a book called Recovering the Soul, he said, human beings are the only living species that has achieved the dubious distinction of dying or having a stroke or a heart attack on a certain day. If you ask most people, what would you say the primary cause of why people would have a heart attack or stroke? Many people will say, well, because they smoke cigarettes, or because of high cholesterol, or because of stress, or because of obesity, and all of those things are contributing factors. But ladies and gentlemen, more heart attacks take place in this country on Monday morning between 8 and 9 a.m. That's when the majority of people who have their first heart attacks have them. 85% of the American public, according to recent studies, are going to jobs that they hate, working on jobs that do not challenge them. They get sick thinking about going. Migraine headaches. After the Sunday afternoon football game or 60 minutes, the anxiety began to build. And come Monday morning, they drop dead of a broken heart. Some of you ought to think about not going to work on Monday. Think about that. People are literally dying to go to work. Because see, when you go to a job and you already know how far you can go, you can already see that proverbial glass ceiling. It's like going to a movie when you've gone in the middle of the movie and you've seen the end and you sit there to start all over again, but something is missing. You know what the outcome is going to be. You can't get excited about going. through that movie all over again. Am I correct? See, when you're going someplace and you already know how much you're going to make, you already know how far you can go. You're in a dead-end position. It erodes your self-esteem. It lowers your sense of yourself. It creates some inner turmoil. It creates an emptiness in you. So I say that your life is worth finding what it is that you're supposed to do. And I'm not saying quit your job. I'm saying find it and do just a little bit of it. When I wanted to become involved in speaking, I started just learning quotes, listening to other people's tapes, going to seminars, going to workshops, asking other people to help me. Just start working at it just a little bit, but do find out what your work is and hold on to it and don't let your dream go. Don't let it go. See, and here's something else I want you to begin to look at. Why is it that most people don't pursue their dreams or don't do better than what they're doing if they're capable of doing it? I think that many of us don't go the next step because we don't know what to do yet. And I say that the reason that we don't even explore the possibility of what to do is because subconsciously we don't believe that it can happen for us and we don't believe that we deserve it. So here's what I'm suggesting. How much time do you spend working on you? How much time do you spend every day working on your dream? In the last 90 days, how many books have you read? In the last year, what new skill or knowledge have you acquired? What kind of investment have you made in you? So I'm saying that as you begin to look at where you want to go, if you want to make it today and things are changing so fast you have to literally run to stand still, I'm saying that you've got to make some conscious effort to begin to work to develop you. Here's something else. Most people are not living their dreams because of fear, ladies and gentlemen. I was in Columbus, Ohio yesterday speaking for a particular Ohio department. Young lady named Karen who greeted me, who organized the event. Very talented, very skillful. And she was talking about she wanted to become involved in the consulting business. I said, why aren't you doing it? I said, you have the abilities. I said, you're not here because they like you. You're here because you're doing the job. You're making things happen. And she came up with all kind of ideas, but finally she said, I guess I can't see myself doing it. I guess I'm afraid. Fear, limited vision, and lack of self-esteem is what keep most people doing things they don't want to do. I was flew from Columbus, Ohio to Denver, Colorado to a major communications company, and the person that picked me up at the airport told me about the fact that the company was planning on having a major downsizing, and they offered some of the employees there an early retirement, and some of them will earn as much as $300,000. And they said, this is the last time that you can take this offer. If you don't do it, when we have the downsizing, you might be among those who will lose their jobs and all you will get is your severance pay. And only 50% of the people who were eligible to take the $300,000 took it. The others were afraid to take a chance on themselves. The others couldn't see themselves beyond that company. They couldn't see life after that company. The same reason that people stay in relationships where they're abused or they're unhappy or it's unfulfilling, they can't see themselves beyond that relationship. They can't see themselves enjoying life without that person. They think that this is all that they can do. The same reason that people get stuck at a certain level in life, they can't see things being better for them. And they think that this is it and this is all they deserve. This is all they've ever seen. It's been passed on to them. And they think that this is it for them. Oh no. Dr. Blanton, Smalley Blanton, who is a colleague of Dr. Norman Vincent Peale, what he said about fear, he said, fear is the most subtle and destructive of all human diseases. Ladies and gentlemen, fear kills dreams. Fear kills hope. Fear put people in the hospital. Fear can age you. Fear, ladies and gentlemen, can hold you back from doing something that you know within yourself that you're capable of doing, but it will paralyze you. And it seemed like you're in a hypnotic spell. And I ask you a question, what is the benefit? What's the benefit of allowing fear to hold you back? What's the benefit of giving up on yourself? Of not stepping out on life and taking life on. What is the benefit for you? What's the plus in that? It's one of the things I had to ask myself. So I didn't want to make any mistakes. I wanted everybody to like me. I wanted to be perfect the first time I did something. It's not going to happen. You're going to make some mistakes. You're going to hurt some folks' feelings. You're going to create some enemies. Whenever you decide that you want to begin to take life on, you've got to ask yourself, how long am I going to allow this to hold me back?
Before Roger Bannister, no one had ever ran the mile below 4 minutes. The Greeks used to tie runners to horses and drag them alone, trying to help them to do it, and they didn't do it. But the day Roger Bannister ran the mile less than 4 minutes, that month, 10 other people did it. See, when you act on your dream, and the spirit and taking the position that there's a possibility you can make it happen, you will inspire others. There's some of you who saw me growing, and now you say, wait, if Les Brown did it, I can do it too. Wait a minute, hold a minute. This man started out, I saw him start out. This is no theory for him. He made $1 million in 91, and just recently, William Morrow Publishing Agency agreed to give him $552,000 for the right to publish his book, The Courage to Live Your Dream. My goodness, whatever he's doing, I'm going to do that too. Every time I turn television on, he's on there. Same one who started out with those little tapes with a rubber band around it. If it's possible he can go from little rubber bands at the church of today on national public television, it's possible I can have my dream. Look how. See, once you are defeated in your mind, ladies and gentlemen, it's all over. It's all over once you're defeated in your mind. See, you showed up with greatness in you. And most of us, because of the mindset we've been born into, and most of us because we're allowing ourselves to be controlled by life as to being in charge of our lives as opposed to taking charge of our lives, we're on automatic. We're just following the crowd. I can do it. Will you have some hard times? Yes. Have you ever heard people say, look, yeah, I've done everything I can do. I'm only human. And when they say I'm only human, they're saying it from the perspective that you can only do so much. They say I'm only human, they're saying it from the perspective that I'm limited. I'm reminded of a man at a time when in the South, the soil was depleted from the kind of crops that were being grown and because of neglect. And this man came up with an idea for the farmers. He said, start planting peanuts. One, it doesn't take as much mineral from the soil to grow peanuts. And in fact, it enriches the soil. They did it. And much to their surprise, it enriched the soil, made it more fertile. And he said, now after you grow the peanuts, you can sell the peanuts. And this man was hailed and recognized and praised for his revolutionary idea. But then after a while, when there was an abundance of peanuts, the same man who was praised now was condemned and criticized for coming up with this asinine idea. Hey, come on, what are we going to do, feed our families peanuts? We can't sell all these peanuts. We can't eat all these peanuts. You were stupid for telling us this. And this man, who was doing what he could, what he had, he felt condemned. And he withdrew to his laboratory. And he said, Lord, what can I do to handle this situation? Sometimes you're going to have to retreat. I was there. I know what it is to walk the floor and you don't know how you're going to make it. When people no longer believe in you. And you got all you got. And you got to say to yourself, when you fail again and again, they tell you no. Sometimes with tears in your eyes, hey, it's possible. In spite of this, it's possible I can make it again. When life knocks you down, sometimes you have to take two steps backwards to go forward. It's possible. When life staggers you, the thing that'll get you up on your knees and get you standing in the center of the ring and find something from somewhere deep down in to keep on slugging and keep on fighting is, it's possible. I don't know where I'll get the strength from, but it's possible. If I just stand long enough, I can pull this off. And this man stayed in that laboratory. He said, God, give me an answer. You're going to have to ask sometimes life to give you an answer. Lead me. Tell me what to do. Where to go. I need some help. I need some guidance. And after staying in his laboratory, he came out. And with just a peanut, ladies and gentlemen, with just a peanut, he made an announcement. He said, listen, come. He said, I've discovered 300 uses for this peanut. You can make 12 different dyes. You can make powder with it. You can make cardboard with it. I've got other uses. And he discovered over 600 uses for the sweet potato. Now just think, George Washington Carver made penicillin from a peanut. Just a peanut, ladies and gentlemen. Undynamic, unthinking, unfeeling, inanimate object. There are 300 uses that we know about. Now just think, if that happened, then what can be done with a dynamic, thinking, feeling, creative human being? Think about your goal. Go to the store, get you a peanut, and put it someplace special. And look at that peanut every time you doubt the possibilities of your life and the uses of your life, of your genius. Just look at that peanut. I want you to look at your life, to look at your dream, and say, it's possible. When you're facing defeat, disappointment, seem like life has rid you off and everybody say, you can't do it. You don't have what it takes. I'm not asking you to say, yes, I can do it. But see, no one. There are too many variables in life that can happen that can enable you to pull it out. No one can say that. All you need to affirm that in spite of this, in spite of these odds, it's possible that I can do it. Think about your goal. Just say, it's possible. And all I want you to do every day is just say to yourself, when you feel that inner negative conversation saying you can't do it, just say, it's possible. It's possible. It's possible.
All of us are basically the same. The only difference between the haves and the have-nots are their habits. Warren Buffett said something I like. Habits are too light to be felt until they're too heavy to be broken. If you change your habits, that's why you want to be in a community of collaborative, achievement-driven relationships. You want to be in a community with somebody who's been there, done that, and bought the t-shirt, who's on the level where you would like to be and go beyond. All of us are the same. I like to make it simple. All of us are the same. The only difference between you and your family members, you and your friends, are your habits. Your habits. Think about it. I separated myself from somebody the other day that I loved. That person's habits. Well, why don't you try and help them? Because they wouldn't help themselves. It takes energy to live the life that you want to live. And most people are not willing to change their habits. They just want to do what they want to do. There's a process to becoming successful, to releasing your greatness, to identifying your goals and being able to go through the hoops and work through systemic racism and all the other barriers that we're aware of and not aware of. There's a process. And the ones who break through, like me, you got to be hungry. How did you do it? Born in an abandoned building on a floor with a twin brother. Don't even know your parents. Labeled educable, mentally retarded. I was hungry. How did you do it? The failing in the eighth grade at Booker T. Washington High School in Miami. I was hungry. That's how I did it. You want to make it? You got to be hungry. If there's not a name of Rockefeller or Trump behind your name, you got to be hungry. Because the deck is stacked against you. Get over it. That's the way it's set up. And when you listen to Choosing Your Future, it will give you the mind fuel and power. You'll get into my thinking. You'll see how I got here. When you listen to Choosing Your Future, you'll see. You want to keep a social distance from poverty, social distance from hard times, social distance from being poor, social distance from living a life of mediocrity, social distance from people who are not going anywhere, a social distance from people who don't want anything, social distance from people who don't have goals and dreams. Why? Because they rub off on you. This road that you want to get on, this life that you're seeking, it's uncommon. It's different. And sometimes it's lonely. I choose not to be a common man. It's my right to be uncommon if I can. I seek opportunity, not security. I do not wish to be a kept citizen, humbled and dull by having the state look after me. I want to take the... to the still calm of utopia. I will never cower before the master, nor bend to any threat. It's my heritage to stand erect, proud and unafraid, and face the world boldly and say, this I have done. You know why you're listening to me? Because you're uncommon. Everything I'm saying is common sense, but common sense is not common practice. You're different. Get over it. Understand that. Everybody's not going to get it. Reverend Ike was right. The best thing to do for the poor is not be one of them. Other people who think like I think. Other people who can do what I've done plus more. Why? That's just the way it is. Jesus said, all power's in my hands. Got to tell you. Les, why are you on today? Because I want to help those who want to be helped. Those who just need a way out. Those who just need a word. There was a point in my life I said, Lord, give me a sign when I was waiting for the sheriff to come and knock on the door. Give me a sign that you're real. And the knock came. I came to the door. I was holding the Bible and the Holy Quran and the Kabbalah. He said, "You Les Brown?" "Yes, sir. We're here to evict you today." I said, "I'm standing on his word." He said, "No problem, sir. Bring the Bible, the Holy Quran, and the Kabbalah and stand on the sidewalk and hopefully call some friends to help you move your furniture off the sidewalk because we're about to set everything out, keeping it real. As the millennials say, I'm keeping it real. I'm speaking truth to power, the power of your mind. Guess what? I'm still here. Guess what? Everything I lost, I got it back, plus more. And you can and will too. You listen to me. You become a part of my community of collaborative, achievement-driven, supportive relationships. Don't try and do this by yourself. Jesus had a posse of 12. You just got to get around the right people because people rub off on you. As I said, all of us the same. Only thing that separates us are our habits. When I change my habits, see, poor people have habits. They do things in a certain way. Wealthy people have habits. They do things in a certain way. I studied wealthy people. And when you have a goal and dream and you're hungry, the odds don't matter. I can't tell you the number of people saying, "You're going to speak? Has something happened that I don't know?" What do you mean by that? "Have you gone to college since I've known you?" "No." "What about any night courses you've taken?" "No." "You don't have any college degree at all?" "No." "Who's going to hire you?" IBM, Xerox, General Electric, McDonald's Corporation, Fortune 500 companies, churches, organizations around the world. How are you going to develop the credibility? I don't know. I'm taught, lean not unto thine own understanding. I'm taught, walk by faith and not by sight. I'm taught, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Have you ever had people tell you you're crazy? Because your dream is too big. Too big for who? Listen to me. Never let someone tell you what you can't do, especially if they haven't done it. They don't know you like that. Life is like an elevator. The higher you go up, you have to stop and let some people off because they don't share your vision. They're not in alignment with your purpose. In order to achieve your goals, it takes everything in you. A.L. Williams, come forth, sir. He said, "All you can do is all you can do. And all you can do is enough. But make sure you do all you can do." If you had your life to live over again, could you have done more than what you have done thus far? This thing called life, it's serious. And right now, this is the most serious time in my lifetime being on the planet. And so it requires serious effort. It requires a new game plan. It requires rituals and practices and habits that empower you, that will give you a breakthrough. You need breakthrough thinking in this period where you are. If you don't change yourself, if you don't change your mindset, you are unprepared for what you will see. You're unprepared. Why, Les? Because the world that you've become conditioned to, the world that you once lived in, the requirements are different. That world no longer exists. There's nothing normal about it. Nothing. And we have to find a way to keep it moving, to work around it, to do what we need to do to stay alive. And don't join the crazies. You're here for a reason. You're here to do the greater work. I had to remind myself of that. And I said, what can I do to impact more people? And the computer gives me that opportunity to reach more people. Some people don't have nothing. And at least I can give away something that can lift their mind, their heart, and their spirit. Because I'm here as a result of God's grace and mercy. And he didn't give me an invoice. I'm grateful. This is a special moment. You have something special. I talked to a friend of mine, Jamal. He saw me yesterday and he said, "Man," he said, "I couldn't sleep last night. I saw you yesterday. It triggered something in me. And I was working all night, man. See, everybody's not going to hear your voice. And that's okay. Don't get your feelings hurt. They're not on the same page with you. And that's okay. Communicate with the people who are. If you can't have the one you love, love the one you're with. Your superpower is your calling. A job is what you get paid for. Your calling is what you're made for. Here's something else. Not only is your dream possible, but you've got to decide. It's necessary. Why? Because you're going to get some resistance. An airplane can't fly without the resistance of air. You can't learn good horsemanship by riding a tame horse. When the dream is big enough, the odds don't matter. No guts, no glory. Faith not tested can't be trusted. And so it's necessary when stuff happens that you keep the faith. Believe in miracles. Miracles still happen. But I can't see the light at the end of the tunnel because you are trying to see what you are. You are the light. Get with it, and you're going to be stronger. Everything, I'm looking back at my life. Every major setback in my life, when I got through it, I was stronger and better because of it. It contributed to me becoming the person that I am now. It contributed to me being able to speak to millions of people around the world. And all my friends who had more education, all my friends who had such great opinions about why I couldn't do it. My mother, Mrs. Mamie Brown, said, opinions are like behinds. Everybody's got one. Listen, the things that happen for us, it's a training, it's a preparation. And I look back, all the stuff that I've been through, and I'm still here. It's real. People said, no test, no testimony. That's real. It sounds cute, but you're being tested now. Don't stop. You're being tested now. Don't give up. You're being tested now. Don't give in. You're being tested now. So you can have a testimony. And you don't know how strong you are until you have to become strong.
KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.